So from heaven, your body will be fed, or your spirit? When your spirit is fed by heaven, should you worry about, what about my body? Give a hamburger to my body? This is not how it works. This is the a little bit explanation of why you shouldn't 100% be logical. There is a part which is beyond that logic. Yes.
Explaining the ruinous cause of the fat and sweet things of the world, and how they hinder one from the food of God, as he has said, hunger is the food of God, with which he revives the body of the truth, i.e., in hunger the food of God is, and he has said, I pass the night with my Lord, and he gives me food and drink. And God has said, being provided for, rejoicing.
Okay, for your understanding, everything here except the first couple of words are Arabic, and we know Rumi plays this game when he wants to make it more interesting, more complicated, and somehow different. He will put it in Arabic, so the title is in Arabic. Let's hear the poetic language now. Yes.
If you are delivered from this provision of gross scraps, you will fall to dainty viands and noble food. If you are eating 100 pounds weight of his viands, you will depart pure and light as a peri. For they will not make you a prisoner of wind and dysentery and crucify you with gripes. If you eat little, you will remain hungry like the crow. And if you eat your fill, you will suffer from belching. If you eat little, ill temper and anemia and consumption. If you eat your fill, your body will incur indigestion. Through the food of God and the easily digested nutriment, ride like a ship on such an ocean. Be patient and persistent in fasting, always expecting the food of God.
Yeah, this is the suggestion. First explanation, that there is food of God, and there is real food. Real food, if you eat too much, you know what will happen to you. If you eat too little, you know what will happen to you. You don't feel good, you do this, you do that. The food of God is not physical. It's like some light, right? It will come to you. So, if you eat a lot, what will happen? Nothing. Good for you. If you eat too little, what will happen? Nothing. Because that has nothing with your physical appetite or physical existence. Are you paying attention to that? Now, in these two paragraphs, Rumi took us out of the physical existence. And he's talking about letting go of this biological existence. How? You know that your animal is here, and you need that animal. So, what is the suggestion here? He explained it in this one verse. He said, what's happening to the people who are fasting too much? Nobody dies from fasting, right? But you suffer somehow. But meanwhile, is waiting for the other food. The faster is waiting for something else. Faster is not waiting for food, because the faster has decided not to have the food, to be in that mood, to wait for that special feeling that no faster never understands really. That there is a feeling, something happens. He said, okay, you know what? You be a very patient fellow and fast and wait for that to come. Because if you wait, what will happen? Yes.
For God, who acts with goodness and is long-suffering, bestows gifts in expectation.
This is it. Because the expectation is not something that is not noticed. Why? Because expectation is one way of this attraction we were talking about. The other one will pull you. You have to be ready to be pulled, right? You have to feel that attraction. This is how it begins. Yes?
The full-fed man does not wait expectantly for bread, whether his allowance will come soon or late. The foodless man is always asking, where is it? And expecting it hungrily and seeking and searching. Unless you are expectant, that bounty of manifold felicity will not come to you.
This is the trick. If you are not waiting, it will not come to you. Why should it? You are not fasting. You're thinking about the food and the stuff here. So that feeling, that special stuff, will not come to you. Waiting for it. Yes. Expectation.
Expectation, O Father, expectation, like a man for the sake of the dishes from above. Mm-hmm. Every hungry man obtained some food at last. The sun of fortune shone upon him. When a magnanimous guest will not eat some food, the host brings better food. Unless he is a poor host and a mean one, do not think ill of the generous provider.
This is the critic. This is the point. You said, okay, this doesn't happen these days. In Rumi's time, it happens a lot. That somebody will go somewhere, will be a guest at the evening in the mosque. When somebody had arrived, he has no one. They will invite him and they will serve them. They will say, okay, when the guy is sitting there, right? And they bring him something. What will happen? What will be the reaction of the owner if he watches this guy is really paying attention and eating this food and appreciating it? Of course, they will try to bring him a better one. This is the same thing. You have to have the same attitude here. Yes? Lift up your head.
Lift up your head like a mountain, O man of authority, in order that the first rays of the sun may strike upon you. For the lofty, firm-based mountain peak is expecting the sun of dawn.
A very special example making. He says, okay, who is waiting for the sunshine? The peak of the mountain. Because that's the point that first sun will be rise and shine, right? So that peak is waiting for that. Do the same. Be waiting for it. Why? Because when you're waiting for it, you're thinking about it, right? When you're thinking about a very fantastic stuff, what is your mood? Your mood is great. What is the outcome of this? It's much better than the time that you sit down and you're worried about the physical existence and all these biological existence, isn't it? This is how it works. So, stand up. Try to be the tallest possible. so you could wait for the enlightenment of sunlight. Yes. Okay, this is the answer to someone who had said something which I hope none of you have ever said that. Yes?
Reply to the simpleton who had said that this world would be delightful if there were no death, and that the possessions of the present life would be delightful if they were not fleeting, and other absurdities in the same style.
Okay. Which one of you didn't thought about that? That if there was no death, our life would be lovely. Because I could live without the fear. Do you remember? Permanent fear of death is with the animal. See? You could be silly and think like that. I don't know, in the time of Rumi it was possible. In this time, it's not possible. You cannot think like that. Because immediately your answer would be, if there was no death, there was no need for reproduction, so the first animals will be here forever. Why should they change? Why should they try to get better? Isn't it better the condition that you have from the condition of the amoeba? All of this effort is because death and life are two sides of one coin. Death is the meaning of life. If there was no death, life had no meaning. It was like existence of a piece of stone. Yeah, piece of stone is always there. We've not thought, oh, it takes a long, 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 long time to. This is the trick. Now listen how Rumi bring it to you. Yes.
A certain man was saying, the world would be delightful were it not for the intervention of death. The other said, if there were no death, the tangled world would not be worth a straw. It would be a stack heaped up in the field and neglected and left unthreshed. You have supposed death to be life. You have sown your seed in a barren soil. The false reason indeed sees the reverse. It sees life as death, O man of weak judgment.
Ah, okay. So he brought two fellows. The first one we say, the death is bad. If there was no death, life was good, fantastic. The other one would say, that could never happen. It doesn't exist. Because the second one is realistic, right? Yes.
Do you, O God, show us everything as it really is in this house of illusion? None that has died is filled with grief on account of death. His grief is caused by having too little provision. Otherwise, he has come from a dungeon into the open country, amidst fortune and pleasure and delight. From this place of mourning and narrow veil, he has been transported to the spacious plain. It is a seat of truth, not a palace of falsehood, a choice wine, not an intoxication with buttermilk. It is the seat of truth, and God is beside him. He is delivered from this water and earth of the fire temple. And if you have not led the illuminative life, one or two moments remain. Die like a man.
Okay. It was very simple, wasn't it? What is he talking about? He's talking about something that is difficult really to think about. But if you could, he promises you that something good will happen. What is that? This is understanding of a very small details. Let's start from the beginning. From the beginning, okay, this is one thinking, that if there was no death, everything was good.